Blog Talk Radio.
Hey folks, welcome to Right from the Left Coast. I'm your host today, Linda, coming at you from Oceanside, California. It is gorgeous. We have had two or three weeks of the most gorgeous weather, 80 degrees, pretty blue skies, ocean breezes, and it's just phenomenal. Thank you for the sound check. I hope everyone who's trying to get in can get in or calls in. Those who are listening through the Listen Now app is fine. Welcome to the show. This show is brought to us by PatriotFamilies.com, PatriotFamiliesWithAYS.com, and we'd love to have you join us, and we are getting ready for our big meeting and fun in Delaney, Indiana. So we are doing all that. Hopefully Bill can get in. Rod is not feeling well, so he's not coming, and I know that Penny and Ron are someplace else because his company wouldn't allow him to be having fun with us when we're actually going. So that's understandable. Anyway, I just wanted to get started. Yeah, I don't know what he did, but I told him to not do the EVOO without making sure it's not rancid. So he needs a cook. He needs somebody to help him out. So anyway, God bless him. So we'll see what's going on. I hope, like I said, I think Bill's trying to get in because I'm toggling back and forth. He's actually in Patriot Families right now, and he's probably having a heck of a time getting in. Blog Talk can be, you know, as we all know, it's kicking you out, etc. I hope you can hear us really well, and thanks, Yola, for coming into the chat room. I'm going to start with some scripture so that I can keep my head attached, because the things I was reading on my internet today and in the newspaper for the past week and a half on this crisis on the border has me bleeding from every freaking orifice I can think of. It is just... it's insane. I mean, the things that I'm seeing on Facebook, the things that are coming to me from all these guys who are going out to Murrieta and protesting, the stuff about Mecha, I've got so much stuff to read to you guys today. Good thing I have an hour and a half. It's unbelievable. So we're going to go with the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. And this is Matthew 11, and that's verses 25 through 30. At the time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord, of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Some of the best things we can learn from these scriptures and these lessons. So let's get down to business. I have got stacks of papers in front of me from the Union Tribune in good old San Diego. This was Saturday, July 5th. Tempers flare. I'm going to go back and see what's... you can hear. Okay, fantastic, Bill. I'm going to get out of that particular thing so I don't hear that in my ear, because it does make the little chime sound. So, okay, don't worry about it. You just try to get in and stay with us, and if you want to call in, that's fine. It says, tempers flare at Murrieta protest. Protesters face off outside Murrieta border station Friday as law enforcement officers keep the group separated. The demonstrators turn out in anticipation of arrival. Buses sent to San Ysidro Border Patrol facility. They've had three attempts at getting these buses into Murrieta and saturating this small town. They've had three successes in keeping them away. Tomorrow is another huge protest. They're bringing in Mecha. They're bringing in La Raza. I just sent an email about a half an hour ago to my friend Jeff, and I'm going to get into all these things really quickly because there's so much stuff going on you guys can't even imagine. Even McCain and a few others, they were denied access to these facilities in, I believe, Texas. And they're not happy either. So, this does not surprise me, yo. It's just they're going all over the place. They're coming in by the thousands. So I'm going to give this briefly. It says, a plane load of unauthorized immigrants from... unauthorized immigrants, I hate it, from Central America landed in San Diego Friday evening and were taken to a Border Patrol facility in San Ysidro, which is right on the border. News of the plane's arrival, the second to come to San Diego since Tuesday. Oh, and by the way, tomorrow's the fourth attempt, and I hope my guys are successful in abating that as well, so they'll have four successes in keeping them out of Murrieta. Second time to come to San Diego since Tuesday came after scores of protesters camped out near the Murrieta Border Patrol office earlier Friday, hoping to stop more busloads of unauthorized Central American detainees from reaching the station. Let me see if I can get some of this stuff. It's just, you can't even believe it. There's pictures all over this thing. Anyway, it says, law enforcement officers keep a close eye on protesters as they square off in front of the Murrieta Border Patrol headquarters Friday. People on both sides of the immigration issue turned out impatient of the arrival of buses carrying undocumented immigrants for processing at the facility. It's just horrible what's going on. And when you hear the other articles, you're going to go crazy. It says, officials will not publicize transfers between facilities. They're lying to people. They're hiding things from the press. They're keeping congressmen away from these facilities with cameras. They won't even let them in. They were clearing them out. It was on the Blaze today. I've got all this stuff for a little bit later. It's unbelievable what you see going on here. Larry Spencer of Hemet said he was arrested at the protest and taken to a police station. He received a citation and took a taxi back to the demonstration. There was six arrests. One was this person, and the other arrests were the opposite side, which would be the La Raza people. And all five of them went to jail. So you can see what's going on. It says confrontations between protesters grew more heated as the day wore on. Police patrolled the narrow space separating the two groups. For those who don't know the landscape down here, San Ysidro is actually on the border. It's this tiny little town, and you can park down there and literally walk across that border at that border crossing. I've done it when we went to Tijuana years ago when it was relatively safe to go down in the daytime and party and buy things and stuff. But anyway, so that's what that's all about. It says, during the day-long protest, six people were arrested for obstructing law enforcement officers, Murrieta police. Lieutenant said one of those arrested, an anti-immigration demonstrator, was ticketed and released early Friday. The others were arrested after a late afternoon incident and were taken to jail. So this is what's happening on that mess, and I'm just going to keep going through this because I have so much to get through, even though I'm only 6 minutes into this thing. There's following the path immigrants take upon U.S. arrival. The arrival of San Diego, over recent days of Central American families who crossed the border in Texas has prompted questions. What happens next? So they're going through this as question, what happens when a person is caught entering the country illegally or walks up and gives himself up to the U.S. border authorities? If it's outside a U.S. port of entry, the person is brought to a Border Patrol station for processing. At this initial screening, agents determine the individual's age and citizenship. They search for any previous immigration record and criminal history. The individuals are asked questions such as how they got to the border and who they came with. They are photographed and fingerprinted if over 14. They undergo medical screening. Yeah, so that's what they're doing now. They're overwhelming the system. Anyone under age 18 traveling without a parent or guardian is classified as an unaccompanied minor. Jesus. Unaccompanied minors from contiguous countries, Canada and Mexico, are screened to ensure that they are not a human trafficking victim, have no claim to asylum or other forms of relief, and voluntarily agree to return home. Yeah, right. They're going to volunteer, sure. All other unaccompanied children must be transferred to the custody of the U.S. Health and Human Services within 72 hours. Anyone taken into custody has the right to contact a family member in the United States and their country's consulate. Question, after the initial interview, what happens? Many border crossers are quickly sent back to their home countries through voluntary return, expedited removal, or reinstatement of removal. Voluntary return, increasingly rare, yeah, allows the person to go home voluntarily without a formal order. More commonly used is a process called expedited removal, in which the Department of Homeland Security may order an individual's deportation without going through an immigration judge. That's what they should do. A third option, reinstatement of removal, allows someone who has previously been deported to be sent back without review by an immigration judge. Another thing they should do. Many of the Central American families are being released but are expected to maintain contact with immigration authorities. And, like, that's going to happen. Please. They never show up. And what's going on right now, this has been all over Fox News. They said this is going to ensure that zero of these people show up for these hearings. And you know that. Question. Okay. It says, the question was, who gets detained and who is released from custody? After the Border Patrol's initial processing, it is up to Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, to determine custody. In some cases, detention is mandatory, but others can qualify for a release while their petitions, God, to remain in the United States are under review. This is what I'm talking about. Then they go for deportation hearings, and they never show up to court. They just assimilate somehow, or, you know, they go into the shadows. Because of the lack of detention space for families in removal proceedings, they are less likely to be detained than individuals. But other factors can also affect the decision, such as whether individuals have a criminal history, if they are a flight risk, or if they have been deported before. Next question. If a person or family is released, does anyone keep track of them? That's a good question. Answer. Families with children are often released in part because of a lack of detention facilities. That's what's going on. Those who are released following the initial Border Patrol interview must report within 15 days to an ICE office near their destination address. Yeah, right. In these cases, the individuals give ICE the name and address of a family member in the United States, who in turn is contacted by the agency to verify the information. Well, at least they're trying. The family member typically wires funds for bus fare or comes to pick them up. In the rare cases in which an individual has no U.S. family member or contact, nonprofit groups step in. Oh, like the one we thwarted in Escondido. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. ICE is required to keep track of their cases using measures that can range from periodic contact to ankle monitors. Those individuals who fail to show up for court appointments risk being placed on a fugitive list. Oh, whoopee. What happens when individuals tell the officer they are afraid of being sent home? Answer. Let me see. Okay, you do what you got to do. I'm just checking the chat room. This triggers the asylum process. That's what I was afraid of. The first hurdle is a credible fear interview conducted by an asylum officer with U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. The officer must determine whether there is a significant possibility that a person has been persecuted or risks persecution if returned to his or her home country. If the answer is affirmative, the petitioner goes before an immigration judge for a full asylum hearing. Applicants must show a well-founded fear of persecution in one of five areas: race, religion, nationality, membership in a particular social group, or a political opinion. God. Question, are unaccompanied children treated differently? Answer, yes. Those from Canada and Mexico must be screened to ensure that they are not trafficking victims or have an asylum case. Those who aren't are turned over at the border to immigration officials from their countries. Unaccompanied minors from non-contiguous countries cannot be quickly sent back and must be transferred within 72 hours to the custody of, listen to this, the Office of Refugee Resettlement of the Department of Health and Human Services. Can you believe this? Hi, Kaizen. Welcome to the show. Service groups are asked to assist migrants. More are expected to arrive in San Diego. That was July 4th, today. Prep for the waves of Central American migrants who may be sent to San Diego for asylum or deportation processing. Federal agencies on Thursday reached out to local social service and advocacy groups to coordinate assisting the efforts. See, this is what's happening here in good old San Diego. Migrants arrive in El Centro. El Centro is inland. It's closer to the border than I am, which I'm about 45 minutes from San Diego proper by freeway, and then another 15 miles south is the actual border. So it says, muted reception contrasts with myriad of protests that forced buses to turn back. A bus carrying Central Americans arrived Wednesday at the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Service Processing Center in El Centro. If you guys can look on a map, you would see where that is. This is daily. I'm just going through these. It's unbelievable. Day after day after day. Where's my next one? Let's see. Here it is. Experts say many children will qualify for illegal status. This is another one from, this was Sunday, July 6th. Let's see if I can find this. I don't even know where my top stories are anymore. I can't see the front page. It's a mess. I mean, I go through these and go through these, and it says, supporters rally for unauthorized immigrant children and women Friday in Murrieta. This is the La Raza clowns. After three buses were turned back Tuesday, Kent Leeper and others protest the arrival of the buses on Tuesday at the Border Patrol facility in Murrieta. So I'm just going to go through these quickly because I want to get to the stuff in my inbox. If I can find this one here. Okay, I'm going to go through those a little later. There was in unrelated stuff. We'll get into the unrelated ones that will tie into the other stuff we talk about today. Also, for those who want to call in, 646-378-0321. 6378-0321, just in case. And we're going to go through this thing. And I'm going to go away from this board for a second so I can see what's going on. Oh, there's plenty on this, Kaizen. More illegal alien parasites. Oh, really? Yeah, right. Well, they're bringing parasites with them, scabies and other things, which we'll get to in a second. So let's see what we have here. All right, this one is from my friend Lee Q. It says, hi, everyone. Please do not attend the La Raza refugee meeting tonight at City Hall. Oh, by the way, La Raza and Metro are communist organizations. I did send that information to Jeff. I said, you guys need signs, and you need to be peaceful, and you need to start chanting rule of law. It says, don't attend the refugee meeting tonight at City Hall. They will get confrontational, and we will only make their group look larger as well on the camera. Know that the opposition is full of paid protesters that will try to engage you in an argument and then tape you for the media. They are just baiting you, so always ignore them. Reminder, see you Thursday, 7:10 at the Murrieta Border Patrol Station at 10 a.m. We need to fill North and South Madison Avenue. Also, just received a call from a Border Patrol agent at Murrieta Station. San Diego sector canceling our meeting at the station schedule for Saturday 7:12. Anyway, so that's what's going on there. So the media is not reporting these disturbing numbers from the first three flights of Central American illegal aliens caught in Texas and flown into San Diego for quick processing and release. Here are the numbers he just gave me out of the approximately 420 Central American illegal aliens, mostly women and children. On the first flights into San Diego, there were processed and released at Chula Vista Border Patrol Station and other stations in San Diego. 100-plus number that have been diagnosed with scabies. Multiple children had fevers. Several children coughing up blood with fevers suspecting TB. Unconfirmed possible cases of H1N1. 5 Border Patrol agents now diagnosed with scabies from processing the aliens. Other agents have also been exposed and possibly infected. They are just reinfesting them over and over. They treat them and immediately put them in the decontaminated cells, which is terrible. Also, bottles aren't being sanitized. Blankets are being shared. It's very bad. The people from the first two planes are long gone. They don't care at all. They're just releasing them. No relief in sight. Rumor is they will be increasing the number of flights into San Diego. So here's that was the intel that I got today on that one. So let me go back to the next little place on these. So it says we have friend Kyra, change name of time. Oh, okay. Well, I was just looking at the chat room. You haven't been in BTR. Well, okay. We'll just continue on. Let me go back to this. You guys have to see this mess. It is just horrible. Okay, here's the one from The Blaze. This is the DHS orders illegal holding center cleared out before the VIP visit, and those would be the Congress people. So let me find that. Then there's also John McCain goes off on restrictive border visits, so he wasn't happy. Here it goes. Let me see if I can find this report. They have photos. It's not really long, but I want to get into this because I have plenty of time. And believe me, I got tons up here. I'm going to also go into the a little bit of review on America by Dinesh D'Souza and tie it into the other stuff you're going to see today. Okay, this was the Border Patrol official, DHS, ordered illegal immigrant holding facility pulled out before a congressional visit. It says, Department of Homeland Security officials, oh man, these guys have got to go, are stonewalling lawmakers who try to make unannounced visits to immigrant detention facilities throughout the country and are closing off public roads along the U.S.-Mexico border in an effort to keep journalists, yeah, they're doing this to the media too, from reporting on the illegal immigrant crisis, federal law enforcement officials told The Blaze. The officials, senior supervisors, have scheduled ahead of time mandatory at detention facilities, turned back officials from unannounced visits, and that Border Patrol agents have been forced to clean up facilities and transfer illegal aliens from unauthorized holding cells before they are inspected by lawmakers. Reporters have also been stopped by DHS officials from traveling along public access roads near the Rio Grande, where most of the illegal immigrant children and groups are crossing into the U.S. The media crackdown along the Rio Grande happened shortly after The Blaze visited the region last month and traveled along some of the more secluded roads along the river's edge. The Blaze witnessed dozens of illegal immigrants turning themselves into Border Patrol agents after making the crossing into the United States and interviewed many of them before they were taken away. While in McAllen, Texas, The Blaze made multiple requests to have access to the facilities where the illegals are being held. Border Patrol spokesman Joe Gutierrez said all requests needed to be approved by senior DHS officials in Washington, D.C., and all were denied. A tour of a facility in Brownsville, Texas, was given to reporters who were forbidden from speaking to agents or immigrants. The Blaze chose not to participate in the tour. Border Patrol agent Chris Cabrera said supervisors in his sector cleared more than 200 illegal immigrants being detained in the Sally Port, a garage used to load and unload illegal immigrants, last Wednesday when a group of bipartisan senior lawmakers made a planned visit to the McAllen Border Patrol Station. House Judiciary Committee Chairman Rob Goodlatte, Republican of Virginia, and House Oversight Chairman Daryl Issa, Republican of California, Representative Joe Lofgren, Democrat California, you're going to love this, Rep. Sheila Jackson Lee, Democrat of Texas, and Representative Joe Garcia, Florida Democrat, traveled to the Rio Grande Valley sector to inspect the facilities where the majority of illegal immigrant children and adults are being detained. And it quotes, they don't want people to know what's going on here, for that matter, anywhere, when it comes to the surge of illegal aliens. And when Congress went to visit, the place was cleared out, said Cabrera, who is the vice president of National Border Patrol Council, Local 3007. The night before the group of lawmakers arrived, the senior supervisors loaded up a couple of hundred people being held in the Sally Port and shipped them out to Laredo. Everything is so fine and dandy. Why not let the lawmakers in just to see the way it is? DHS officials in Washington, D.C. did not immediately return phone call requests for comment. More than 47,000 unaccompanied children have crossed into the U.S. illegally this year. Up to 90,000 are expected to cross into the country by the year's end. Cabrera, along with several other Border Patrol agents who spoke on the condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to speak publicly, said the Obama administration is covering up the difficult working conditions that Border Patrol agents are confronted with, as well as the detrimental situation to the nation as the flow of illegal aliens continues to increase. It even frustrated some of the mid-level management, Cabrera said, of the order by DHS officials to move the illegals the night before the congressional visit. Quote, how are we supposed to get any help out here if we're hiding the facts from the people who are supposed to be here to help us? End quote. The clampdown by DHS on information and access in the Rio Grande Valley is also being felt at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, where more than 1,000 unaccompanied minors, mainly from Central America, are being housed. Representative Jim Bridenstine, a Republican of Oklahoma, said Monday that he was denied access to the facility housing the children when he made an unplanned visit on July 1st. Bridenstine said he was told by a manager from the Department of Health and Human Services that the next opportunity for him to visit would be July 21st, but was later told that a July 12th tour was possible. The congressman sent a letter to HHS officials Monday protesting the administration's demand that the visits be planned and pre-scheduled. Quote, it is unacceptable that any representative of the people be limited to pre-planned, showcased visits to a facility so critical to the well-being of children, he wrote. Another quote, ordinary Americans have a right to know what is happening in these facilities and how the children are being treated and what is being done to stop this human tragedy. Well, here, but, you know, that's what's happening. So I just wanted you guys to be aware of this. There's just so much stuff going on. Okay, I'm sorry. I was moving. Am I okay now? I'm going to try to keep this steady. So we lost Kaizen. Maybe they're from the other side. Okay, I've got to go to the next one, and hopefully people will call in a minute. This is just unbelievable. Let's see where I am. Freedom Outpost. Okay. Oh, here's another one. It says, the congressman says, hold up. Yes, Obama is using Cloud Piven strategy to collapse the system. I'll get into that, and we will see where we are. Hopefully, I won't lose the page. This is not a real long one, so I want to get through it. In regard to the sudden illegal immigrant surge at the U.S.-Mexico border, two congressmen have gone on record to confirm President Obama is indeed using a Cloud Piven strategy to overwhelm America. You guys can talk all you want, but if you're not going to impeach him, I don't want to hear anymore. We'll go on to the rest of the article. For a look back on how the Obama administration brought us to this point, enter into evidence two extensive timelines. The first, compiled by Judicial Watch, is entitled A Timeline of the Obama Administration's Four-Year-Long Conspiracy to Grant Amnesty to Illegal Aliens by Dismantling Enforcement of Our Laws Against the Illegal Immigration. The second, published on Senator Jeff Sessions' official website, is entitled Timeline, How the Obama Administration Bypassed Congress to Dismantle Immigration Enforcement. But here are just three very basic examples floating around the news lately that get the idea across easily enough. One, not only did DHS put out a purchase order for escort services for 65,000 unaccompanied alien children all the way back in January, two, and not only does the 2015 Department of Justice Appropriations Report, also released earlier this week, ask for funding for a pilot unaccompanied alien children program, three, but now in a direct contradiction of what the administration is telling the American public, a recently leaked Homeland Security memo admits the fact that only 0.1% of the Central American minors illegally entering the U.S. have been deported in fiscal year 2013, down from 2% prior, and this plays a significant role in why the current border crisis is occurring. So in essence, our government officials knew this wave of illegal immigrants were coming to our borders, and they planned for it well before it hit, because they've known for quite some time the Obama administration's policies are causing it to happen. This is in addition to the fact that a 2013 ICE document reveals in detail the fact that over 36,000 criminal illegal aliens were released from our government's custody while awaiting the outcome of deportation proceedings in that year alone. These people had a whopping 88,000 convictions between them or among them, including homicide, sexual assault, kidnapping, aggravated assault, car theft, and drug driving, to name just a few. Sounds a lot like a setup, doesn't it? Well, yeah. Well, now, Rep. Steve King, our Republican of Iowa, and Rep. Steve Stockman, R. of Texas, both agree that the Obama administration policies are derived from a Cloward and Piven strategy, a strategy concocted by radical sociologists to crash the system and transform America into a socialist state. Well, I would suggest that those two representatives do something about it and stop just talking about it. Okay, here's another one. I just want to keep going. I'm going to go back and forth for a second and see. Hi, Doc. Welcome to the program. As you can see, I'm ranting, but I got to see this one. This is my friend Pat Hilty. Dear Patriots, the email message below is from a person who has a vacation home in San Felipe. And this was when she was returning to San Diego. The conclusion, the situation obviously is organized, so there is an objective and a time frame. Our job is to uncover and expose the truth. This is from her friend. My wife and I just finally crossed the border, and it was a three-hour wait, and we have the sentry and ready lane pass. Just an FYI, what I saw, and it's a shocker. There were so many kids and buses being taken across the border. Think about what I am talking about now. I was in Mexico, and I saw plain white buses crossing with nothing but kids, and these buses were allowed to go through where the truckers and commercial vehicles go. Something is happening at our very own borders, and it makes no sense. While American citizens try to cross and are in long car lines and waiting and walking lines, from what it looks like to me is from what I can see, are not even Mexican nationals, but from other countries. Well, that doesn't surprise me. Just giving everyone a heads up that something is happening at the borders. We first went to the San Ysidro border, and it was 600 cars. So then we went to the Otay Mesa border, and it was just as bad. My wife took the sentry lane, and I crossed walking with a ready lane card. I was in line with over 3,000 people, and walking all the way to the front, showed my ready pass, and got in the gate. What I saw once I crossed where I was, I saw the white buses to the side after you cross the border. That was just a heads up from my friend Pat. So I just wanted to give you that information. And it's just, hi, Cal. Welcome to the show. Hopefully Bill will call in a little bit. I just want to get through these because they're just unbelievable what's happening. Okay. Let me see if I can find the rest. Hold on a second. Okay, it says, alert, Border Patrol agent in San Diego infected with scabies from transported illegal aliens from Texas on Tuesday. There's a letter that was written by one of these people. This is the scabies alert, and I'll try to get through it quickly. The heading says National Border Patrol Council, Local 1613. So this is written from Ronald Zermeno to a Chief Beeson at the Chief Patrol Agent, United States Border Patrol. So one Border Patrol agent to another, one's coming from San Diego to the Chula Vista office, and he says, health alert, Chief Beeson, this morning I received a report from one of our agents, what I have been fearing to hear. Two agents from Brownfield Station in Otay Mesa, California, developed a rash yesterday after processing detainees from Texas. One of the agents sent me this picture of the rash and advised me he was diagnosed with scabies by his doctor and had to apply pesticide cream all over his body and leave it on overnight. When the agent got home, he had to change in his garage and put his clothes in the washer. He immediately went to bed. The next morning, he saw the rash. If I can get this. Okay. The agent is married with two small children. On top of that, the agent carpools with another agent who is now possibly exposed. To make matters worse, the agent put his uniform shirt in the back seat of the vehicle, and now the other agent's daughter has sat there before they were aware of the infection. Agents were told to trust the medical screenings. I spoke to the agent who advised me that the duties he was performing at the time he thinks he was exposed was that he was asked to do the medical screening of all the detainees prior to releasing them to ICE. He is not a trained medical professional, but did the best he could do. He completed the questionnaire on all the detainees and documented what he saw. He observed several people with open sores in which he recorded on the questionnaire. He was not told about any precautions to take, such as decontaminating himself and his uniform. This demonstrates that we are not properly trained to identify infectious disease and to properly respond when we suspect a disease. Chief Beeson, you have stated that all the detainees underwent health screening by FEMA personnel and were declared medically sound for transportation to California. Our EMT agents did an initial medical screening of the detainees upon their arrival and identified several with active scabies and other illnesses. Those that passed the screening were sent to other stations in San Diego for processing, one of those stations being the Brown Field Station. We do not know exactly which detainee was infected and processed at Brownfield that resulted in the agent contracting this disease. We suspect that they could have been already transferred to ICE custody and may have already been released in the surrounding communities. Oh, marvelous. I am again asking that all detainees be medically screened by doctors and decontaminated prior to transportation to California, that agents are provided training to identify these diseases and how to report and respond to when the agents suspect an illness, that agents who are involved with the transport, processing, and medical screening be provided protective disposable overalls to ensure that they do not contract scabies and other infectious diseases, provide a facility that the agents can decontaminate prior to departing the processing area, provide laundry facility for the agents so that they can decontaminate their uniforms, recognize that the time spent by the agents decontaminating themselves and their uniforms is compensable. In addition, that you please provide assistance to the infected agent for his losses, to include his bedding and clothing. That assistance to be provided to the agent carpool partner for the decontamination of his vehicle and for both agents to have their families checked for possible exposure. Do you guys realize we're paying for all this mess? Oh my God, we do not encourage releasing the detainees. They should be held for deportation hearings. If ICE is going to release them, then they should be quarantined prior to ICE releasing them into the communities to ensure that they will not transfer infectious diseases such as scabies into our communities. I request that your staff not downplay this incident and call it an isolated incident. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention states the following for prevention and control of scabies. Prevention and control. When a person is infested with scabies mites for the first time, the symptoms may not appear for up to 2 months after being infested. However, an infested person can transmit scabies even if they do not have the symptoms. Scabies usually is passed by direct prolonged skin-to-skin contact with an infested person. However, a person with crusted Norwegian scabies can spread the infestation by brief skin-to-skin contact or exposure to bedding, clothing, or even furniture that he or she has used. Scabies is prevented by avoiding direct skin-to-skin contact with an infested person or with items such as clothing or bedding used by an infested person. Scabies treatment usually is recommended for members of the same household, particularly for those who have had prolonged skin-to-skin contact. All household members and other potentially exposed persons should be treated at the same time as the infested person to prevent possible re-exposure and reinfestation. Bedding and clothing worn or used next to the skin any time during the next 3 days before treatment should be machine washed and dried using the hot water and hot dryer clothes or be dry cleaned. Items that cannot be dry cleaned or laundered can be disinfected by storing in a closed plastic bag for several days to a week. Scabies mites generally do not survive more than 2 to 3 days away from human skin. Children and adults usually can return to child care, school, or work the day after treatment. Persons with crusted scabies and their close contacts, including household members, should be treated rapidly and aggressively to avoid outbreaks. Institutional outbreaks can be difficult to control and require a rapid, aggressive, and sustained response. Rooms used by a patient with crusted scabies should be thoroughly cleaned and vacuumed after use. Environmental disinfestation using pesticide sprays or fogs generally is unnecessary and is discouraged. As I highlighted, institutional outbreaks can be difficult to control and require rapid, aggressive, and sustained response. All processing facilities should be thoroughly cleaned and vacuumed after use with proper high efficiency particulate air or HEPA type vacuums. Cleaning contract personnel should be wearing protective clothing and respirators. All equipment should be thoroughly cleaned and disinfected after use. All waste should be properly disposed of as biological hazard waste. We are requesting that a Cabicide, C-A-B-I-C-I-D-E, brand disinfectant be provided for the agents to use for decontamination of work areas, equipment, and transport vehicles. This product comes highly recommended by medical and emergency response personnel. This is the product that they use to decontaminate their ambulances and equipment. As you see in the attached picture, which depicts contaminated bedding being placed in paper bags stored outside Chula Vista Station, Border Patrol management is aware of the scabies outbreak but continue to ignore recommendations. The contaminated bedding should be placed in closed plastic bags, not paper bags, as recommended by CDC. We strongly recommend to control the spread of scabies that disposable blankets be used instead of the wool blankets. That is what was going on yesterday when I was checking that one out. So I'm going to save some of these. You have no idea what I'm going through. I'm going to pick up Bill because I know he's going to weigh in on this. If I can get this thing to work. It's starting to. Are you there? Hey.
I'm here.
Can you believe what I'm reading?
Linda, you're talking about the diseases you're talking about are the low-level diseases.
Oh, I know.
It's much worse than that with tuberculosis and other diseases that are higher in contagion and higher in probability of leading to death or whatever. It's been a whole orchestrated idea.
Yes.
That's being brought upon us here. You look at Obama, he used days to pose with a pro-illegal filmmaker. And you're talking about Mecca,
sure.
La Raza, and these groups. And these are groups that believe they want to wipe out all white people.
Right.
That's part of their goal, is to wipe white people off the continent of North and South America.
Canadians
ought to wake up because they'll be in line behind us.
Yeah, there was another, I'm trying to see where I got it. It says they were talking – and I don't know what I did with it. It's in there someplace. It's talking about the dumping. And what they were talking about, if I can find it. God, this is an audio, so I can't use that one. Okay, so are you still there?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just trying to go through these, but I'm going to get into the other stuff since we have plenty of time, but I saw the report, and I can't remember where it is. It's in my emails. I'll try to email it to you guys or put it basically talking about Mecha and La Raza. And both of these organizations came out of the 60s, Bill, and they are communist organizations.
I know all about both of them and many of the other groups. I did a study on them when I was with the head of CHOICE, which was the Coalition of Hoosiers
right.
for the Order of Immigration Control and Enforcement. And I'm still close friends and tied into iFire. You can look them up, iFire.org.
Okay.
Cherie Calabro, Greg Serban, these people have been on this for many years now, and the numbers that they can give you will just stagger you even more. There's one number I'd like to use. 20 to 24 Americans, on average, since 9/11, have died every day in this country at the hands of an illegal.
Oh, yeah.
That number, with all the increases and stuff, that number is going to go higher.
Yes. Well, look, they're just flooding us. Look, I was going to ask you how many people are in your room today.
Look around. Step back, take a deep breath, and look around. What they're doing is you're seeing the global agenda all over the globe.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Look around the globe and look what's going on all over the globe. Now, the big thing I got out of today and all the crap of today was the EPA claims they have the right to garnish wages if you violate their rules.
Sure. I mean, look, I was going to ask you how many people are in your room today, because I've only got a couple in the chat room. Others are, people are working and vacationing. Well, so
I've got Chad, I've got Brittany, I've got Scott, I've got my wife.
Yay.
Got a lot of people out there getting ready for this weekend coming up.
Oh, man.
And
yeah.
I think on Friday, that you and we of the Hoot the Holler group, we'll all get up there and do some talking. And we need to let people ask questions, and we need to give them the best answers we can. But I got to tell you, folks, what you're seeing is a desperate attempt to flood our country, to change the very culture of this country to where it would be more acceptable to a global government. And I have told people for quite a while that illegals were nothing more than pawns in the agenda.
Yes. Well, this is what I think is going on.
In the end, when they do their world depopulation, where do you figure illegals are going to fit in?
Well, that's just, yeah, right along with you and me, because we're the patriots. But look, this is what I see happening, because this is happening so close to my hometown. Rod even sent me something saying that that he says, boy, it looks like that Obama's waging war and starting it in California. And it looks like that to me, because this has got San Ysidro, it's got El Centro, it's got Otay Mesa, it's got Murrieta, and everything in between. I don't know if you're, if your microphone's cutting out, but it kind of has a little bit of a glitch. But otherwise, if you and I can hear each other, that's good, and hopefully that everybody out there can hear us. But this is what I'm seeing happening here. You've got Mecha and La Raza. They're all being bussed in from Orange County and Los Angeles and all over the place to Murrieta, to the town halls, to the quote, dumping site. And they're going to be very confrontational. We actually had a warning, and I just read it before I got to these newspaper articles from my friend Lee Q, who's in Orange County. And she says, don't show up at the town hall because it's a setup. I think he wants civil uprising so he can do the top-down, bottom-up, inside-out martial law that he's wanted since he got in, Bill. That's what I think he's setting us up for. And I told everybody.
I want to share something that happened to me and my group once.
Go ahead.
There were a few of us. We were going to Indianapolis to a protest, and we were warned not to come because there was going to be trouble, because there was going to be busloads. They were going to bus in illegals to outnumber us. It was going to beat us down, whatever. My five friends that were with me at the time, they looked at me. One of them said, you know, I've took an ass with them before, and it's going to take one, but for my country, that's what it's going to take.
Right.
We loaded up and we went anyway.
Good.
We expected trouble. When we got there, there was no big opposition.
Wow.
Now, I can't say that that's the game that's being played there, because I know how low these people can be.
These people are being paid.
You're talking about organizations that get government money.
You betcha. You betcha.
That's total hate.
Yes. Well, look, they're communists,
they can take over America, but then America will be the same failure they left.
Right. I told Jeff today. I said, if you guys, whatever's happening tomorrow at the Border Patrol station in Murrieta or whatever that's called, just be careful, be peaceful. Stand firm, get some better signs, and don't let them, Cal's talking about the United by the Unions. Yeah, well, I don't know. This goes way back to the 60s, Cal.
Don't let them instigate you into doing something or saying something. They're going to play all kinds of games trying to intimidate. They're going to play games trying to get you to say something that they can somehow use against you or whatever.
Exactly.
The fact is, you got a government that has, ever since an amnesty, you had a government that worked and passed an amnesty bill that had security measures in there and enforcement measures in there. And what we have had since then is government that has worked consistently to avoid enforcing those laws.
Mm-hmm.
until they could somehow come up with a reason and claim a change. But the same people that are doing that are the same people who are pushing it into 21 at us.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, this is what's going on. Look.
I fought against John McCain and Mitch McConnell over amnesty in 2005, 6, and 7. You know, and they had the same thing, but theirs was for a different reason. Theirs was because they could fill their pockets off of illegals.
Sure. Well, look. This whole thing, like I said, I gave you as much as I could on the headlines and what I got from all these people that are helping us in Murrieta and all the good patriots. I want to give you a little bit on the climate change and what else is going on with California, because it is absolutely disgusting. California is in the toilet.
About this immigration in there.
The what?
Did you know that Homeland Security is not checking the people that they're handing these kids to see if they're legally in the country?
They don't care.
They don't care about that. Their parents are already illegally here.
Yes, they are. I know. This was, we had our, I just want to go through these really quickly, and then I want to get into the review of the Dinesh D'Souza movie a little bit, because it was fantastic. I suggest everyone go see it or get it off Redbox when it comes out, whatever. This was my UT June 30th, so I'm going back a little bit. But we have a big fair that goes on for like 4 weeks here in Del Mar. And, of course, we have legal gay marriages now in California. We have a huge gay pride parade going on in California. In Northern California, the Burger King Whoppers now have proud Whoppers, you know, which have the gay thing. So it says, headline says, couples get hitched at the fair, and of course there's two men standing there. So that's what I deal with on a daily basis. And then I have to deal with the local nonsense here in San Diego. And this was July 7th, a couple days ago. Climate, our city wrestles with climate change plan. You got to just hear the verbiage in this stuff, because it is enough to make your blood boil. Compromises and adjustments expected before aggressive proposal goes to council next year. How aggressively the city of San Diego should fight climate change will be a hot topic in coming months. See, they're already presuming, assuming, and stating that they believe that there is this problem. They are run amok with this, doing this. Makes me sick.
Well, there you go. You got to follow the money.
Well, it's not problem. Just, you know, yeah, oh, I know that.
You know, I saw a Republican today on the floor, and he was talking about energy, clean, efficient energy. It was hydroelectric.
Okay.
But yet you don't hear none of the Democrats pushing for hydroelectric. Do you know why? Because they're owned by electric companies and states.
There you go. Yeah, we have way far too many monopolies, and I'll explain how that happened later in the program. But we have monopolies right here in my town. I can't, for instance, choose my cable company. So that's why Michael Magic did what he did, and he canceled his cable company. He got the rabbit ears, which is the smartest thing I've ever seen anyone do, which I will follow suit someday. Everything is a monopoly. We have the same thing with our stupid waste management, which is, you know, controlled by the, like I said, the green monster greenies of San Diego.
We don't even want to discuss our wastewater management, if you remember a couple of years ago.
Yeah, no, this isn't the wastewater. That's a whole other story. Believe me, I got a whole article on that. I don't even have time to get to. I'd have a 2-hour show. We're talking about what the trash collectors is called waste management. So the city of Oceanside has waste management, who also has a monopoly. And guess who rides around in those trucks? They ain't white people. Anyway, so this is what I'm up against. And then we just elected a, quote, Republican mayor in San Diego after we got rid of Filthy Filner. But this guy's a rhino. Listen to this. With Mayor Kevin Faulkner starting to move forward with an ambitious plan that many of his political allies oppose. Well, I can see why, because he's obviously being a progressive. The worsening the worsening drought and the earlier than usual start this year of San Diego's fire season have increased momentum behind efforts to reduce greenhouse gases. Now, what in the hell does a freaking emission have to do with all these fires started by freaking terrorists? And you have the freaking EPA and the Wildlands Project and the UN Agenda 21 people saying you can't clear out the brush because that's not environmentally sound. Can you explain that to me?
And the UN is the same one claiming these illegals are refugees.
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah. Oh, I know. Oh, that's another thing that makes my blood boil. Okay. Let me see if I can go through this mess. If I hear this nonsense, I swear to God, I need to write some scathing letters. A coalition of local businesses and real estate organizations, however, contends the city's plan would go too far, too quickly, and could damage the local economy. It already has. Trust me. Faulkner, a Republican, I call him a rhino, has said he'll definitely make some changes to the proposed plan, which would be a general plan, I'm sure, which was crafted last winter by Democrat City Councilman Todd Gloria, the same one who pushed for the, this is the same clown, the progressive, who pushed for the hike in the minimum wage in San Diego, of course. But Faulkner hasn't said how significant those changes will be or which elements of the plan he will amend or eliminate before presenting it to the city council sometime next year. Backlash against the plan, which has been called one of the most aggressive in the nation, oh, I'm not surprised, has focused primarily, since it's California, primarily, hang on, almost there, regulation that would force property owners to make their homes and commercial buildings more water and energy efficient before they can sell them. Sounds like Stalin to me. Other elements include incentives and regulations aimed at creating a sharp increase in the use of mass transit. Here we go. Elements include incentives and regulations aimed at creating a sharp increase in the use of mass transit and bicycles for commuting and having San Diego get all of its energy from renewable sources such as solar and wind by, get this year, 2035. This is the path that California is on. This is what I'm up against, Bill. The whole region down here. Todd Gloria, the schmuck, who this is my editorial, who resumed his role as council president when Faulkner became mayor back in March, said part of the reason his plan was so bold was that he anticipated subsequent negotiation. Quote, I wanted to propose something aggressive knowing that politics is the art of compromise. Oh, God, what a schmuck. Every bit of the plan is up for amendment or change. Yeah, right. Not if you're around, Gloria. So he said he'll be disappointed if the changes are so significant that San Diego isn't perceived as a leader on the issue. In other words, the green monster machine. The aggressiveness
so
of the...
We want to make San Diego the place we stick the nozzle when we give the country an enema.
You got it. Thank you, sir. The aggressiveness of the goal is a reflection of the seriousness of the problem, he said. The seriousness of the problem. Somebody's paying this guy, right? San Diego is a special place because of our climate and quality of life, and both of them are threatened. This is what these guys spew. This is the kind of, you know, merit that comes flowing out of their mouths, like the Alaska pipeline, I swear. Gloria said the mandate.
If you go looking, I about guarantee you that every one of them is in some way invested in some group or something that's going to profit from these things that they're proposing.
You got it.
They're going to be in power. And they don't realize that once they've helped the global elite set up Agenda 21 as the global government, they no longer serve a purpose, and they become the most useless idiots on the planet.
On the planet. I got to finish this article, and then we're going to go into the next stuff, and we can keep commenting. I love it when you guys comment. So this clown says the mandate that houses and commercial buildings be retrofitted before they can be sold was not among the most important elements of his plan. Well, la-di-da, Stalin light. Quote, the emission reductions we want to hit would come more from changes listen to this, in transportation and energy reduction than in the retrofitting of existing structures, end quote. That's good news for the San Diego Association of Realtors, which strongly opposes that mandate as something that would prevent many people from selling their homes. Do you think? quote, it creates a huge financial burden, and that is of great concern, said Jordan Marks, the association's director of governmental affairs. Senior citizens on fixed incomes would be particularly affected. No fooling. He also said the mandate wouldn't achieve its goal of accelerating remodels and retrofits of buildings because it would discourage people from buying houses with plans to upgrade them and quickly sell. We'll see an onerous financial burden put on the sellers who comply, and it won't achieve the outcome of upgrading our housing stock, which is the end goal, Mark said. This is not an efficient method. These are the realtor guys. The coalition opposed to Gloria's plan, which also includes the San Diego, you're going to love this, San Diego Regional Chamber of Commerce, those guys are evil too, and the Building Industry Association, has similar complaints about other elements of the plan. A joint letter it sent to Gloria in January says the plan should focus more on incentives and less on regulations and penalties. Well, gee, that would be a start. The coalition also criticized the proposal for considering greenhouse gas emissions levels in 2035, contending 2020 is far enough into the future, and listen to these people, and for going beyond state and federal requirements on emission reductions. These guys are complete, they're psychopaths. The kind of climate action plan its members seek would be similar to one proposed in 2011 by former Mayor Jerry Sanders and then abandoned when Bob Filner was elected in 2012. Supporters of this glorious plan say Sanders' approach was focused almost entirely on voluntary efforts, would make the cities vulnerable to litigation. Oh, my God. In the bigger picture, critics have questioned whether costly local and state and even national plans to address climate change will have the necessary global impact. I mean, this is what you're dealing with. I have to take a breath. Okay, I wanted to go ahead and comment on what we just went through. This is how they talk. This is what I hear.
They're following an agenda that's been laid out for a while.
Yep. For a long
time. You and I and many others out there have worked to expose this agenda. And so when we first started, you got to admit that you're seeing things happening that you've been telling people that was going to happen for a couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just all starting to come together. The economy is being destroyed.
Oh, yeah. Our country,
our very culture is under attack, and
our health department.
They're going to take our weapons away from us. But it looks like we're going to be fighting 10 million Muslims and a few million drug cartel here in our country before long.
I know. It's not good. What I'm going to do is I'm going to try to I've got a half an hour left, and I'm so glad you're here with me, Bill, because it helps to banter about these thoughts because they're so important. And I mean, look what's going on with Israel and all the rest, and Iraq and all the rest of this nonsense. And we have a schmuck in chief who is doing three fundraisers, and he's acquiesced slightly to Rick Perry to have a little meeting with him. And I hope Rick Perry just slams him in a very professional, stately
Obama
way.
Obama came out after that and has been talking, and you're not going to like what he says and stuff. But the truth is, he and his administration orchestrated this crisis.
Yes.
They knew in advance it was going to happen because they were orchestrating it. Benghazi, the IRS, the Fast and Furious.
I know.
On and on, they all lead right back to his office.
Yes. Again, a doc just typed in that he blamed all the problems on Texas today. Oh, my God. How did he do that, Doc? He's still typing, so we're going to banter this about it. I wish you'd call in and let us know, Doc. We still have 25 minutes left, and I've got to get to these other articles.
How can he blame something on Texas? When we have,
because
his administration has worked so hard not to enforce immigration laws. Have they been going after people who employ illegals? Have they been going after the people who house illegals? No attempt at it. And they keep screaming reform. Both sides talk about reform.
I know.
How can you reform something when you refuse to enforce what you had to begin with?
I know. So then Maggot said Texas would not play or negotiate with the feds, and the GOP needs to learn to be bipartisan. I swear to God, somebody needs to do something with this guy. You know what? There was
the GOP needs to be bipartisan, like the left is bipartisan. The left thinks they get their way, and that's just how it is. Anything else is partisan.
I got to tell you,
anything else, you don't have a say. It's their way or no way.
Okay, I'm gonna give you
their way, then you're the bad guy.
So okay,
poor little kids who think they somehow are so much smarter than everyone else, but when you look at it, they're not smarter. They are more immoral, more self-serving, more self-appointing. You know, these people are only out for their own individual selves and pride.
I know.
Much power and wealth can they gain by holding an office? And then they're going to hand that down to their kid and teach him, this is how you gain wealth and power. Get in here and you make your investments on the side and do it wisely and blah, blah.
So here's what I...
We have a totally corrupt system of government that allows people to control who can and can't start a business or own a business in one area.
I know. Well, I'm going to explain that in a minute, but because I've got to read from this book because I hope everyone goes out and buys it because it's like amazing. And I mean, I can go through any page, any chapter, and just like you do in the Bible, and just read out of it, and you guys will be freaking floored. When you're talking about there was this Omaggot and the rest of these clowns and Valerie Jarrett, they've orchestrated this nonsense, and they're using every Saul Alinsky tactic, every Karl Marx tactic, every Cloward and Piven tactic they can. So this is what's going on. And there was something on Facebook to lighten the mood a little bit. One of the guys from Georgia somebody put a picture of Obama's face inside of looked like a giant turd. And so they compared him to Slick Willie and saying that he was the Teflon president because nothing sticks to this clown. And I said, oh, that's funny, Teflon poop. And so I got a kick out of it. And I hope others did too, because that's exactly, look, he will, if you think Slick Willie was Teflon, oh, please, no one can hold a candle to this Omega. Nobody. This guy, nothing touches him because of his half-black status. And I'm tired of it. And I hope you're right that when they get done with him, they're just going to do something. That's what I hope. Go ahead, Bill.
When people no longer serve a purpose into the system,
that's right.
Created, in Agenda 21, for dummies, if you watch the video, at the very end of it, the cyborg-type person makes a comment about serving the collective. And if it doesn't serve the collective, then it's useless and it's of no consequence to get rid of it. And that includes people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's...
When you look at 1 billion to 500 million total people on the planet, and then you start adding in the elite and their servants, and then those that do all the labor and all the what's left, you're not going to have all these illegals. You're not going to have all these politicians.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. Well, look, I'm going to touch on this next week, but it ties into my next portion. And they had this thing on the UT, and it was like way back in July 1st, a few days ago. And it says, options exist when saving, you're going to love this, a newborn's cord blood. Have you heard about this, the stem cell nonsense? Well,
yeah.
Nothing in this article gave the option for parents to opt out. Not one of these choices was of that. Everything was, we'll freeze it for later use for you, or you can donate it to this, or you can do that, or whatever. But there was not one option of parents opting out. And this, in other words, if you have your kid in a hospital, not only are they going to be, a straw man corporate entity that's fictionalized by the rotten government we have now, which is not a representative republic, by the way, But I'll go ahead and read this article next week because I want to get to this part. And I want to just do that little bit of a movie review. Not only do I want you guys to read The Real Lincoln by DiLorenzo, I want you to go see America, Imagine a World Without Her by D'Souza. Because it was fantastic. The only thing I would decry against Dinesh on this one was that he did not talk about he talked about Frederick Douglass, but he didn't talk about what I'm going to read to you today. So you have to kind of look and see who's writing what, and you've got to put your answers together for yourself. You've got to do your own homework. This book, which I'm almost finished with, is just chock full of notes and footnotes, et cetera, to where they're documented from and how he got this information, going back into history. But I would say one thing, that movie, except for the Civil War part that he denoted, was absolutely spot on and fantastic, so I would recommend it. Now, this is going back to why we don't have a representative republic, and I'll let you comment when I'm finished. This was so good today, I had to give it to you guys. In the United States, the people are said to be sovereign. But which people? How? As Professor Wilson explains, in American terms, the government of the people can only mean the people of the states as living, historical, corporate, indestructible political communities. The whole of the Constitution rests upon its acceptance by the people acting through their states. The whole of the government reflects this by the representation of the states in every legitimate proceeding. There is no place in the Constitution, as originally understood, where a mere numerical majority in some branch of the government can do as it pleases. The sovereign power resides, ultimately, in the people of the states. Even today, three-fourths of the states can amend the Constitution under Article 5. In no other way can we say the sovereign people have spoken. States' rights is the American government, however much in abeyance its practices may have become. The only real alternative, as John C. Calhoun pointed out, is to hand over sovereignty to the black-robed deities of the court, who disappear into their chambers and then tell us what orders we must obey, no matter how nonsensical or unpopular they may be. This, of course, is exactly the course that the American government has taken ever since 1865. James Madison said that the meaning of the Constitution was to be sought or intentions of the body which planned and proposed it, but in those of the state conventions where it received all the authority which it possesses. The father of the Constitution believed that the document gained all of its authority from the sovereign states and nothing else. The federal government will never check its own power. That is the whole reason for federalism and the reason the founding fathers adopted a federal system of government. There is no check at all on the federal government unless the state sovereignty exists, and state sovereignty in itself is itself meaningless without the right of secession. Thus, Lincoln's war, by destroying the right of secession, also destroyed the last check on the potentially tyrannical powers of the central state. The great historian of liberty, Lord Acton, understood this. Lord Acton was a dominant intellectual force in Victorian England and viewed the South's defeat, conquest, and subsequent military occupation as a severe blow to the cause of liberty throughout the world, not just in the United States. Like most other British opinion makers, he did not believe the war was fought over slavery. On November 4, 1866, he wrote to General Robert E. Lee, quote, "I saw in states' rights the only availing check upon the absolutism of the sovereign will, and secession filled me with great hope, not as the destruction, but as the redemption of democracy. The institutions of your republic have not exercised on the old world the salutary and liberating influence which ought to have belonged to them, by reason of those defects and abuses of principle which the Confederate Constitution was expressly and wisely calculated to remedy. I believe that the example of that great reform would have blessed all the races of mankind by establishing true freedom, purged of the native dangers and disorders of republics. Therefore, I deemed that you were fighting the battles of your own liberty, our progress, and our civilization, and I mourn for the stake which was lost at Richmond more deeply than I rejoice over which was saved at Waterloo. General Lee responded quite presciently to Lord Acton, writing on December 15th in 1866. This is the last paragraph. While I have considered the preservation of the constitutional power of the general government to be the foundation of our peace and safety at home and abroad, I yet believe that the maintenance of the rights and authority reserved to the states and to the people not only are essential to the adjustment and balance of the general system, but the safeguard to the continuance of a free government. I consider it as the chief source of stability to our political system, whereas the consolidation of the states into one vast republic, sure to be aggressive abroad and despotic at home, will be the certain precursor of that ruin which has overwhelmed all those that have preceded it. So that's what you have. This is what happened in 1861 through 1865. I mean, unbelievable what he did with that war and subsequently with the it's horrible. This is what gave way to this centralized evil government we have right now. What do you think, Bill? Hello?
Every time we look around, things, it lets us know that we're not a part of what their plans are. We're not involved in the decision of the plans. They've already made these plans ahead of time for us. Again, it goes right back to when we really talk about these people think we are so dumb that they can just tell us the thing and we'll believe it.
Well, see, what happens with this book is when you talk about not only the right of secession, but the states' rights, which Lincoln just absolutely crushed. He crushed them as surely as if he had carpet bombed them like Stalin would have done. I mean, that's what he did. He took away the 9th and the 10th, and when he was doing his little waging war on the South, he took away all 10 of them, believe me. And I mean, huge. He squashed every, except for the second one, amendment. That's the only one he left alone because he knew there would be hell to pay. He probably would have been assassinated a lot sooner, and he knew that. He damn well knew he was hated, and he knew why, too. Schmuck. He did. He abolished the 9th and 10th Amendment as sure as I'm sitting here, Bill. And that's why we're in the mess we're in.
He has consistently violated the Constitution. And I have to say, Senator Palin's exactly right. We have every right to be calling for his impeachment. What we have is a gutless establishment of the GOP who are tied in to all this stuff, whether they want to come out and let us know it or not. But they are all a part of this Agenda 21 crap and the global elitist because they all think they're going to be a part of it.
Well, see, this is what I think when I read this book. This is what was born out of this Civil War. The UN was born out of it. World War One and Wilson were born out of it. FDR was born out of this. I'm telling you, without this SOB, Lincoln, we would not have the UN, we would not have World War One, we would not have this BS, we would have states' rights and a right to secede. And the right of secession keeps the damn federal government limited and in check because they know damn well that people will say, oh no, we're not doing this and we're going to be on our own. And they fear that more than anything, Bill. And that's why I hate Lincoln right now, because he was the precursor to what we're doing today.
Yes, he was. When you go back and you study history, a lot of those things, you really get to looking at all of them.
Yep.
All of them. No one stands unblemished.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
No one, we're never going to find anyone who does stand unblemished.
Right.
What we got to find is someone who's made a mistake, realized it, and has done everything to correct that mistake.
Right, but look, when I look at this history and I see what Omega's doing today and what I see the stupid, idiotic, feckless Congress doing or not doing, and then I see the people behind the scenes, and you know who they are. We've got the puppet masters, and you've got the Soroses and the Valerie Jarretts and the UN and the Agenda 21 crowd and the frickin' Marie Strongs and everybody else is involved. And, you know, every single one from A to Z that we can't stand, we see what's going on. These are the. Go ahead.
I really doubt that he goes anywhere without Valerie, because I believe she's the one that is orchestrating and telling him
she's the one who's giving him his marching orders. So here's the deal. Now, this is what I see. I'm looking at 1865, and then I'm coming forward, and then I'm going through the rest of the history, and I see all this progressive nonsense, which the door was opened by good old Abe, and then they just keep marching and marching and marching, and then you got the UN, and you got the EPA, and you got the DHS, and you got the you got Cloward and Pimp, and you got all this BS, okay? Now, there is, from where I sit, there's no way out of this, Bill. You can't just... wave a magic wand. You can't just say, okay, flip, let's go back to the original founders of Jeffersonian style. You can't. These guys put the kibosh on us a long, long time ago. That's what Ron talks about. We are, and there's so many people who are seeing this coming. This thing's going to melt down pretty quickly. I just hope we get through our summer and enjoy, because we're going to be up a creek.
We knew real sick. Then they're going to go into the desperation mode and try to shove everything at us as they can.
They're already doing it.
The Middle East is about to go up into flames. What's Obama doing?
He's fundraising.
In our country, yeah. Well, our border's getting invaded. Right.
That's because he wants it that way. He wants it that way.
Well, yes, he orchestrated it. That's why he don't want to go down there.
He hates this country.
You can go see these congressmen. People can go see these people. They're not allowed to talk to them and ask them questions. They're not allowed to film them. You know, it's like they don't even, you know, they come out and they say something, but they can't back it up because they weren't allowed to get the evidence or the proof.
Jeez, it's pretty crazy, Bill.
People that they're claiming are kids. Well, understand, Obama, under health care, declared that a child was somebody that was up to the age of 26.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, I know. Oh, and then the MS-13 gang's coming through. That's why they're clearing out those facilities before the congressman can go see what's going on. And they're making sure that the reporters can't go in and see it, too. You know what's going on, Bill. And the only way out of this, I'm telling
you. On the border and stuff, because it's a total invasion. And if there's even a mention that there's going to be some kind of amnesty, you wait and see the rush at that border then.
Right. Okay, check this out. There's only two ways out of this. You're not going to vote your way out of this, Bill. There's no way you're going to vote your way out of this. There's two ways out of this. There's either going to be the return of Christ, or there's going to be a freaking revolution part two. And that's the only way I see out of this. It's the only way I see out
of this. The thing is, will there be a revolution before there's a return of Christ?
Well, it would have to be, because you can't do it after.
No.
So that's the only two ways out of this.
Around, when we look around in the Middle East and stuff, all these terrorist organizations, you really look at it, this administration has been financing them and giving them aid. Syria, they might say that they're giving to the moderates, but you can't. There's no description for a moderate murderer. The religion is calls for murder of those who don't abide. You see, like yesterday, the New York Times come out and attack the Catholic Church over Hobby Lobby deal, but them same people lack the courage or the integrity, if they really believe what they believe, say they do, then they would be doing the same thing at the churches of Islam, the Muslim churches. But they don't have the courage to do that. And they think that by them ignoring the Muslims, that comes down to it. The Muslims are going to ignore them.
Yeah.
Are you really that dumb?
These people, they live in a bubble, Bill. You know that. So, like I said, there's only two ways out of this. There's going to be a total civil uprising and a mess, or Christ is coming back, and I have a feeling we're going to have the revolution far long before that. And I want to say goodnight to everybody. I'm going to take some music, and I'm going to say, Bill, a couple days, I'll see you guys. We're going to party our buns off. I'm going to definitely need some wine when I get there, so. Oh, my gosh. I have my constitutions packed. I've got my stuff for you guys packed. I've got my Agenda 21 stuff packed. I've got the healthcare stuff. I've got everything for y'all. stuff for Leah, and I mean, I'm just excited as punch. I've got half my clothes packed, and it's going to take me most of Friday to get the rest of it done, but I'm like so ready. I'm excited. And Yola and Doc, who are still off.
We're still running around here trying to finalize how we're going to do what we're going to do.
Yeah, I got it. I just want to say God bless to Doc and Yola and everybody, Chad and Jolene and yourself and whoever else is sitting there. All the folks. I don't know if is Brittany there?
She was just left.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I still have pictures of her on my from the last trip we did, and little Wyatt was in there, and I'm sure he's grown quite a bit because he had a little tiny fat face and cutesies. And all the, it's so much fun.
I hope someone brings a good little film camera this time, and maybe we'll make a little video and put it on YouTube.
Yeah. I don't have one of those. All I got my stills, but I do really good with my Nikon, so at least I can get those. And anybody else who could come up with that would be fantastic. We are going to miss Terry and Ron, and we'll have to Skype them or something. And we'll have to, you know, they're going to hate life because they can't come. So, because I know. I'm just going to take us out with them.
Remember the first year, Ron left. Yeah. The next night, we called in on the show.
Yeah, we did. Wasn't that fun? Oh, my
that
God,
was.
That was fun.
And I
that
believe
was great.
I believe we can do our shows from there. If Lonnie is back at his house, I think we're going to be able to do the shows from there.
Awesome. Okay. I'm going to take us out with Living in America, and God bless, and I will see everybody on Terry's show tomorrow. If she's doing a show, that would be fantastic. And in the meantime, I'm going to get my nails done and stuff. So you guys be blessed, and I'll see you in a couple days. I'm so excited. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Bill, for calling in. Good night to everybody there in Indiana. See you in a couple days. Yo, love you. Doc, love you. See you tomorrow night for Terry's show, Patriot Education, 6 p.m. Eastern. Love you all. Good night.
God bless.
God bless.